As we continue to go through this, what I call Doing Life series, today I want us to think about the question before we prepare for communion, what kind of witness? On Tuesday night, some time back, our Tuesday night Bible study was going through a book called Design for Discipleship series, and we got to this chapter called Witnessing. And that chapter challenged me. I don't know how much it challenged our class, but I think it challenged them also. And so I've taken a couple of quotes from that class, added some scripture to it, and brought together this question this morning: what kind of witness am I in everyday living? As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, hear me now. You and I are a witness. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are watching what we do, what we say, how we respond, how we react. We are a witness. We do not have to go, although we should. Last week I talked about the harvest fields, and sometimes we should go two by two, door to door. We should do that, just to offer prayer or encouragement or whatever else. But we do not have to do that to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an everyday living that you are a witness. And I want us to think about this question for a moment. What do you think? I want you to think about this for a moment deeply. What do you think that those outside the church, those that you work around, those that you live around, those that you go to play games with or whatever, what does the world outside the church think of Jesus by the way we act? You see, because we are a witness in everyday living. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 12, Paul reminds the church at Thessalonica to be that kind of witness. He says, "But we urge you," this is verse 10, partway through, "brethren, that you increase more and more," that's in their walk with Jesus and in their faith, "that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." And verse 12 says, "that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." And so Paul is challenging the believers to walk properly because the world is taking a look. If you claim the name of Jesus, the world is taking a look at your and my behavior. The world is taking a look at how you respond when somebody has cursed you, or someone has shortchanged you, or someone has misused you. And Paul challenges the church at Thessalonica there, walk properly towards those on the outside. You say, "Jim, what's walking properly?" Being led by the Spirit of God and not our flesh is walking properly in the world. I got a little quote I want Tim to put up on the board for you to see. This one comes from that Bible study that we were doing. This is really, really good. It says this: "Witnessing is not merely an activity, it is a way of life. Followers of Jesus don't do witnessing. They are witnesses, good or bad." That's a fact, brothers and sisters. That's just not from some old book. That is reality. It just happens to be a good quote out of that Design for Discipleship series that I borrow this morning to challenge us, to remind us, to just make us aware maybe that we are in fact witnesses in everyday living. Either a witness for the Lord as good or a witness for the Lord as bad. We are witnesses in everyday life. Everyday living. It could be at the grocery store, and it could be, maybe it's even the Black Friday, and you're standing in line, and you're racing to get that last thing, and somebody grabs it right in front of you. Now you get the flavor, don't you? You are a witness. How you behave. how we respond to that. Out on the highways, somebody's just cut you off, and you got a big old Jesus sticker on your bumper, and you, well, it's hard to tell what you're going to do. But you are a witness. They just passed you up. They saw your big old Jesus sticker. They just passed you up. They just cut you off, and you're cussing a blue streak. We are a witness in everyday living. We are a witness at work. We are a witness at home. Oh, it's easy to be a witness in church. But we're a witness more than just in church. Brothers and sisters, if you have taken up the social media scene, you know that some things on there, whether it's your tweets or your Facebook or your LinkedIn page or whatever else, you know that you can be a witness on social media, either good or bad. Negativity, lots of it on social media. Cutting down our spouses or our neighbors or our friends, ripping someone else, happens all the time on social media. We are, in fact, a witness on social media also. Pictures of my behavior last Friday night is a witness. You see, brothers and sisters, it's more than just an hour or so on church that we are witnesses for Jesus. And if we have claimed the name of Christ, if we are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are witnesses to Him in everyday living, in everyday life, in what we do, what we say, how we act, in everyday living. We are a witness, either good for Jesus or bad, depending on our witness. I could give you all kinds of for instances. I think you get it. But when we're in the workaday world, and everybody is cussing the boss and cussing the company because they've just taken a dollar away or whatever the case may be, it's an opportunity for you to be and I to be a witness, good or bad. When people are getting their 15-minute breaks and you take 20, it's an opportunity for you to be a witness for Jesus. People see that. And so we are witnesses. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our message, what kind of witness are we for Jesus today? What our lifestyle looks like outside the confines of the four walls of church is a witness. It's a witness to those watching you, to watch and watching me. Our language and our habits, they're witness. Your smile, even when everybody else is frowning, and even though you've had a hard day too, your smile is a witness. You know, when you stop and are genuinely concerned about somebody, it may be in a store, it may be along the streets, it may be who knows where, when you stop and show some genuine concern, it's a witness for Jesus. Because they're going to say in their mind, you know what? I didn't think anybody cared. We're a witness in everyday living. And I'm wondering sometimes why it is, brothers and sisters, that God's people walking around with all the long faces and all the looks like we just lost our best hound or whatever it is. Why are we walking around like that when our witness is Jesus? We got something to tell. We got something to say. And it seems like we're walking around in all them frowns and all that sorrow and all that anguish and, well, kind of like we're dead. And yet the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in us. And I'm just wondering, brothers and sisters, in everyday living, what kind of witness are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 12. There's a couple verses there that challenge us just a little bit. John chapter 12, 42 and 43. Jesus is sharing, and many of the people are starting to get it. They're starting to believe. Nevertheless, verse 42 says, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. Excuse me. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And here's the punchline. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Did you see what it said, friends? They weren't willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ because they cared more about what people thought than what God thought. And I'm thinking a whole lot of that's going on today, even in my own life, too often times. And I wonder how often have we, do we, it isn't even in the past tense, it's in the present tense, how often do we care more about what people think than what God thinks? It happens every day. Oh, I don't want to look like some churchy in front of him. Oh, I don't want to be praying in front of her. We care more about what people think than what God thinks. That's a witness, good or bad. You see, friends, I'm very aware that it's popular to be popular. I'm very aware of that. We like to be recognized. We like notoriety. We like some congratulations. We like to be popular. I'm very, very aware of that. We like the praise of men, just like those fans in 42 and 43. They like the praise of men, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And I'm very aware it's popular to be popular. And we like the praise of men, but sometimes when we are longing for the praise of people, we are not a very good witness for Jesus or God. And so I just want to challenge us today. I'm going to have one more piece of scripture before we prepare for communion. But I want to challenge us. I want us to think, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a witness for Jesus, either good or bad. If you have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be a witness for him, because the Holy Spirit of God hasn't taken up residence in you, in me. If we have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, we will never be a witness for him, because his presence hasn't taken up residence in us. So we need to surrender our lives to Jesus, and we need to be his witness. Mark 5 has a long story. I don't have time to go over very much of it, because I think you know the story already. But I want to answer the question, well, Jim, how can I be a witness? It starts by everyday living, everyday dealings, in everyday life. It starts right there as how we are a witness. And then we get to the story in Mark chapter 5. It's 19 verses, but I'm not going to read but a few of them. And as a matter of fact, I'll paraphrase most of it. Jesus had just come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and when he had got out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. I think now you know the story. This was the demoniac that was living in the tombs and would howl around the places at night, and people would try to chain him up and bind him up, and they couldn't, because the Bible says he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This was one crazy guy. And when he saw Jesus, he ran and he worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." I think you know the story. And so Jesus challenges a man about him being demon-possessed. He casts out the demons. They go into swine. The swine tumble over the hill into the lake and are drowned. And when the people of that area saw this, they came to Jesus and saw the one who was demon-possessed, this is verse 15, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And verse 17 says, they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Now here's what I want us to get. This is the culmination of the whole story. When Jesus got back in the boat, the Bible says, and when he, but that's Jesus, got back in the boat, he, who was demon-possessed, begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." That is the crux. That is the entirety of the matter of being a witness. Jesus simply said to this person who was radically changed, "Go back to your family and friends and tell them what God has done for you." That's how we can all be a witness. You see, friends, That's where it's at. If you have been born again, if you have trusted Christ as Lord, you have something good to share. Amen? There is something to share. I was lost, and now I'm found kind of things to share. We may all not be quite that dramatic as a man filled with a legion of devils, but his change was dramatic. And we have that same kind of story to tell because we were bound for eternity apart from God to hell. And he found us, he rescued us, he saved us, and now we are bound to glory with Jesus. We've got something to tell. And Jesus simply says, go home to your friends and tell them. Tell them these good things that have happened to you. And so, what kind of witness are we for the Lord Jesus? I realize that only 2% of people have the gift or the enthusiasm or the wherewithal or whatever to be outright faith sharers, evangelists, those kind of people that can walk right up to somebody else and ask them about their faith and tell them the story. I realize that percentage is very, very small. However, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives should be our witness. How we deal, how we live in everyday life should be our witness. And when we get a chance, we need to take this from Jesus. It's very, very, very applicable to us. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell your neighbors. Go home and tell your spouse, your parents, or your children the good things that God has done for us. You see, friends, he calls us to be a witness. It's like we were talking about last week when we were talking about the harvest. The harvest is ripe. The fields are white for harvest. And we can either be part of the harvest or we still need to be harvested. But as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives should reflect Jesus. And so I hope this week that as we go back into life, whatever that involves, you remember, as a follower of Jesus, we are a witness in everything that we do. Amen.